transcendent knowledge. Thus have I heard. Once the Blessed One was dwelling in Rajagriha at Vulture Peak Mountain, together with a great gathering of the Sangha of monks and a great gathering of the Sangha of Bodhisattvas. At that time, the Blessed One entered the Samadhi that expresses the Dharma called profound illumination. And at the same time, Noble Avalokiteshvara, Bodhisattva Mahasattva, while practicing the profound Prajnaparamita, saw in this way. He saw the five skandhas to be empty of nature. Then, through the power of the Buddha, Venerable Shariputra said to Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, how should a son or daughter of noble family train who wishes to practice the profound Prajnaparamita? Addressed in this way, Noble Avalokiteshvara, Bodhisattva Mahasattva, said to Venerable Shariputra, O Shariputra, a son or daughter of noble family who wishes to practice the profound Prajnaparamita should see in this way, seeing the five skandhas to be empty of nature. Form is emptiness, emptiness also is form. Emptiness is no other than form, form is no other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, perception, formation, and consciousness are emptiness. Thus, Shariputra, all dharmas are emptiness. There are no characteristics. There is no birth and no cessation. There is no impurity and no purity. There is no decrease and no increase. Therefore, Shariputra, in emptiness, there is no form, no feeling, no perception, no formation, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no appearance, no sound, no smell, no taste, no touch, no dharmas, no eye dhatu, no mind dhatu, no dhatu of dharmas, no mind consciousness dhatu, no ignorance, no end of ignorance up to no old age and death, no end of old age and death, no suffering, no origin of suffering, no cessation of suffering, no path, no wisdom, no attainment, and no non-attainment. Therefore, Shariputra, since the Bodhisattvas have no attainment, they abide by means of Prajnaparamita. Since there is no obscuration of mind, there is no fear. They transcend falsity and attain complete nirvana. All the Buddhas of the three times by means of Prajnaparamita fully awaken to unsurpassable, true, complete enlightenment. Therefore, the great mantra of Prajnaparamita, the mantra of great insight, the unsurpassed mantra, the unequaled mantra, the mantra that calms all suffering should be known as truth since there is no deception. Prajnaparamita mantra is said in this way. Te ata om gate gate paragate parasangati bodhisoha. Thus, Shariputra, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, should train in the profound Prajnaparamita. Then the Blessed One arose from that samadhi and praised Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, saying, good, good, O son of noble family, thus it is, O son of noble family, thus it is. One should practice the profound Prajnaparamita just as you have taught, and all the Tathagatas will rejoice. When the Blessed One had said this, Venerable Shariputra and Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, that whole assembly in the world with its gods, humans, asuras, and gandharvas rejoiced and praised the words of the Blessed One. Shandara Samaraya Ve Te Yata Om Gate Gate Paragate Parasangati Bodhisoha Baba Gonja Zonji Gae Dembe Doji She Oba Doji Meba Doji Shewa Doji Dragi Baji Medumbe Jutanji She Dingo Yezoha Ngeri Dunya Jejo Jewa Da Medo Nube Jindan Jewa Da Domba Junji Bunzun Zun Joji Dashi Dejan Nare Leyo. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. Holy Lamas high, wrap the sky of your Dharma bodies in massive clouds of knowledge and love, and let them pour upon the earth of your disciples as we are ready. Shower of rain, the teachings deep and wide. This jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. Edam Guru Radhamala Ganiradayami. Jodam Jodi Jodam La Jaju Badu Dani Jazuchi Dagi Chunye Jibe Sonam Jindrola Benji Sanje Rubaru. Jodan Zodi Jodam La Jaju Badu Dani Jazuchi Dagi Chunye Jibe Sonam Jindrola Benji Sanje Rubaru. Jodan Zodi Jodam La Jaju Badu Dani Jazuchi Dagi Chunye Jibe Sonam Jindrola Benji Sanje Rubaru.
Tomo Naji Revolution Sudan, Dinga Dinga Tomo Naji Revolution Sue, Chibi Chimbi Naji Revolution Sue, Song Che, what does Motoma, the Dugin on the Emberta, the Dugin on the Marbe? That I know what the Tangasu, you think, which is usually Sujit the Malaji Sawaro, Lebaton and Bebaton Maye, Kuba Chimbi and Bashinjal Sawaji.
So this evening we will be going over Lama Tsongkhapa's Source of All My Good. And if we look at the outline in Lama Tsongkhapa's great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment, and we look at the categories of it, and we find how it's placed into this short poem. When we look at the outline of the great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment, we find that it begins with how to rely upon the teacher that is the root of the path. And then the next category is the stages of how students train their minds after having relied upon the teacher. Under that category, we find two categories, an exhortation to take full advantage of a life of leisure and opportunity, and then how to take full advantage of a life of leisure and opportunity. So in that section of how to take full advantage of a life of leisure and opportunity, we have the category of the actual way to take full advantage of that life of leisure and opportunity, the actual way. And under that category, we have the major headings of training the mind in the stages of the path shared in common with beings of small capacity, training the mind in the stages of the path shared in common with beings of medium capacity, and then training the mind in the stages of the path for beings of great capacity. We begin with this first category of how to rely upon the teacher that is the root of the path. So in the source of all my good, it states, the source of all my good is my kind Lama, my Lord. Bless me first to see that taking myself to him or her in the proper way is the very root of the path, and grant me then to serve and follow him or her with all my strength and reverence. This first section deals with the necessity of a teacher. So we must rely upon a teacher in order to learn any area of knowledge. If we wish to learn any religion, whether it's Buddhism or Christianity, it's necessary to have a teacher in order to learn those subjects. If we wish to learn non-religious subjects, such as science, or English, it's necessary to have a science or English teacher in order to learn those subjects. So we must rely upon a teacher in order to learn any area of knowledge. So in this case, if we're condensing what the subject matter of this poem is in the great treatise, needing a teacher who can teach us the three capacities. So when we look at a teacher's lamp for the path to enlightenment, we find that statement that says, understand that there are persons of three capacities, small, medium, and great. Those capacities, those small, medium, and great capacities, are what, in this case, we need a teacher in order to understand. So this next section, we deal with the life of leisure and opportunity, and then we find the various subjects of that. First, the identification of that leisure and opportunity, and then the difficulty of achieving leisure and opportunity, and the great importance or the value of achieving leisure and opportunity. So then we find it in this next section. Bless me first to realize that the excellent life of leisure I found just this once is ever so hard to find and ever so valuable. Grant me then to wish and never stop to wish that I could take its essence night and day. When we first identify these, what leisure and opportunity is referring to, and sometimes it's freedom and endowment. I think sometimes freedom is a better translation of this word, because you are free from certain things, and that's, I think, why it's a better translation as a note. So here, when we're speaking of freedom or leisure, it means that one has a basis from which one is free to, or has the leisure to, practice religion. So one is free from the eight hindrances, or the eight leisureless states, or the eight states that lack freedom. And if one has a basis, so for instance, when we speak of a leisureless state or a state that lacks freedom, a hell realm being is in a basis that lacks freedom, because this isn't a basis from which to practice religion or practice Dharma. This basis that we have is a basis from which to practice Dharma, therefore we call it a basis of freedom or a basis of leisure, because it is free from these eight negativities. And then if we have this basis, then it's also necessary to have the cause and conditions that allow for us to practice religion. And then those are the endowments or the opportunities. And we find that there are five opportunities that pertain to ourselves and five opportunities that pertain to others or outside. It could probably translate it best as within ourselves and then five that are outside. So this is what is meant by leisure and opportunity. It means that one is free from the eight leisureless states and one has the 10 opportunities. When we get to this this body of the text, it says that it's ever so hard to find. So why is it hard to find? So we can prove that it's hard to find by way of reason and then some examples. So one specific reason or example, rather, of its difficulty that's given, we find in the basis of discipline in the Vinaya, where the Buddha has stated that the number of beings that are born from the lower realms and the higher realms into the lower realms resemble the atoms in the world, and the number of beings that are born from the lower realms or the higher realms into the higher realms resemble the number of atoms that fit on a fingertip. So we see that there are many more beings in the lower realms of cyclic existence. When we find this comparison of the number of beings going to the lower realms are like the atoms on the earth, and the number of beings going to the higher realms are like the atoms on a fingernail. So what is the reason for this? So we go to Aryadeva's 400 verses, where we find a quote that states, "The humans, for the most part, are involved in the ignoble. Therefore, most ordinary beings fall to the lower realms of cyclic existence." So what does this mean? Humans, for the most part, are involved in the ignoble. It means that we are more engaged in accumulating non-virtue. We are engaged in the 10 non-virtuous deeds, and these deeds, negative deeds, lead to the lower realms of cyclic existence. The amount we engage in virtue, very little, and virtue is what leads to the higher realms of cyclic existence. Therefore, because we engage in so much more non-virtue, we are more likely to fall to the lower realms of cyclic existence. So this is what is meant by Aryadeva's point that humans, for the most part, are involved in the ignoble. So humans, for the most part, are involved in non-virtuous activities. Therefore, most beings go to the lower realms, hell, hungry ghost, and animal. So it's because that the non-virtue is so prevalent. So this reason supports the example given in the Vinaya. So the next part says it is ever so valuable. So it sometimes could be translated as great, has great importance. Dunchewa, great importance. So why does it have great importance? This human basis allows us to, if we wish, achieve rebirth into the higher realms of cyclic existence. If we wish, we can achieve the state of liberation or nirvana. We can achieve complete Buddhahood. So it's from this basis that we can achieve all these goals, and that's why we say that this basis is has great meaning, or is very meaningful, very valuable. So although the 10 non-virtuous deeds that we engage in will lead to the lower realms of cyclic existence, those misdeeds can be purified, so we can apply such practices as the four opponent powers, and these will allow us to purify these negative activities we engage in. Then the Tama Yandra Surana and the Gyewa Chula Suchim Agne
Chandra. Chungo to Tumu Laja Jeba Tengu Mare. Chungo to Tumu Laja Jeba Tumu 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 Chungo Chungo to Tumu Laja Jeba the Kashukure. That didn't do you long, Marve.
Lesser.
That's a Malchi long. What land shows and a Magijo city the Marve?
So this next set, couple of stanzas deal, we begin to get into the teachings, the pathways shared in common with beings of small capacity, and these are pathways which lead to the higher realms of cyclic existence, to the gods in the human realms. So it says, my body and the life in it are fleeting as the bubbles in the sea froth of a wave. Bless me first thus to recall the death that will destroy me soon, and help me find sure knowledge that after I've died, the things I've done, the white or black, and what those deeds will bring to me, follow always close behind, as certain as my shadow. Grant me then ever to be careful to stop the slightest wrongs of the many wrongs we do, and try to carry out instead each and every good of the many that we may. So here, if we were to say, posit pathways shared in common with beings of small capacities, or the pathways for beings of small capacities that lead to the higher realms, we would say they are the practices of refuge, going for refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, engaging in ethical behavior which abandons the 10 non-virtuous activities, and then if one engages in negativity, acknowledging that downfall and applying some sort of opponent, such as the four opponent powers. So these practices allow our pathways that lead to the higher realms of cyclic existence, and categorically fall under the pathways shared in common with beings of small capacity. So these two stanzas are referring to the small capacity teachings.
What the she Jesu and Joa Shamadan Joa Shamamena and Chudruga Yomare, the Joa Shamayuares, Joa Shamatene, the Nutangan Yuare, what the Diva Poya, God way out to the Kishibres, she is Lutan Tamajins, Diva Savaina tea.
So we find the my body and the life in it are fleeting as the bubbles in the sea froth of a wave. Bless me first, lest to recall the death that will destroy me soon. So these points. Right now, at this moment, we have this human basis that is more important than a wish-granting jewel. We have this human basis currently in our hands, but the problem is that this human basis is not stable. It will eventually lead us to our death. We will perish. So we need to think about this and always keep this within our mind. That our this death will come and destroy us. So this here is talking about our death and impermanence. So we need to think about the fact that we're going to die. And then it says, and help me find sure knowledge that after I've died, the things I've done, the white or black, and what those deeds will bring to me, follow always close behind as certain as my shadow. This is speaking of if there's no future life, then it's not necessary to worry about practicing Dharma. But there is a future life. And when we look at the two places that we can be reborn in our future lives, we find that they are the lower realms of cyclic existence and the higher realms of cyclic existence. And it is the virtuous deeds that we engage in that lead to the higher realms of cyclic existence and the non of the gods and humans, and the non-virtuous deeds that we engage in that lead to the lower realms of cyclic existence of the hell, hungry ghosts, and animals. So we need to recognize this, that we do have a future life, and that here we see what these deeds will bring to me. So virtuous deeds bring happiness, non-virtuous deeds bring suffering. So therefore, we at this point wish to engage in virtuous deeds and then abandon non-virtuous deeds because we wish to achieve the results of virtue and abandon the results of non-virtue.
She just learned to imagine not to learn the most of the marble.
So our life, this bubbles in the sea froth of a wave, we see that these bubbles are mixing in the water and unstable and always disintegrating, as our life is. And when we die, our virtuous deeds that we engage in will lead us to happiness, and our non-virtuous deeds will lead us to suffering. So we recognize that we're going to die because we're like that bubble in the sea froth of a wave. And then when we die, the only thing that will give rise to the next experiences are the deeds that we've engaged in. So therefore, we need to recognize this and engage in the deeds that bring the results that we wish for.
What dang to shine Joshima? Joshima mess and the deal with Joshima Yores. Joshima mess, love in there, and then get home to learn about Jesus Yamaris. Nematuna maybe Chaba Yamaris. Kuchima to Yores. Drohan knew about the Shad and Sabbath and Drohan over this. Pomba knew about you and there. Pomba Sabbath and Drohan over there. Young Pomba knew about you, Sabbath and Drohan, what the college and do what is Marvel.
So we say that there is a future life, and it's not sufficient to say, oh, just because we haven't seen this future life doesn't exist. So this doesn't pervade that. Just because we haven't seen something does not mean it's necessarily not there. So this isn't a good enough reason. So we need to recognize that there is a future life and gain this knowledge, and then look at it like, moving out of an old hotel and then moving into a new hotel. So this set of aggregates that we have, we discard, and then we take on a new set of aggregates. So this process of getting rid of aggregates and taking on new aggregates and getting rid of aggregates is what is cyclic existence. This is the cycle of existence. Taking on aggregates and discarding aggregates, taking on aggregates and discarding aggregates. So help me quench your knowledge that after I've died, the things I've done, the white or black, and what those deeds will bring to me, follow always close behind, as certain as my shadow. So when we look at this in the context of the root Lamrim, the great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment, we find that the categories under training the mind in the stages of the path shared in common with beings of small capacity are as follows. We first find there are three major headings. The actual training of thought of a person of small capacity, then the measure of the attitude of a person of small capacity, and then dispelling misconceptions related to a person of small capacity. Under this first category, the actual training of thought of a person of small capacity, we find two categories: developing the state of mind that strives diligently for the happiness of future lives, and then the next category is relying on a means or a method for achieving happiness in one's next life. So we find these two categories. So under the second category, relying on a means for achieving happiness in one's next life, there are two major headings, refuge and then karma and its results. So the refuge is very important, as is karma and its results when we relate it to this section of teaching shared in pathways shared in common with beings of small capacity. And when we speak of refuge, in Tibetan we say Namo Gurube, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Sanghaya, Namo Dharmaya, Namo Sanghaya. In English we say I take refuge until I'm enlightened in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. So Rinpoche was just saying these are what refuge is referring to. So we go for refuge, and then we look at karma and its results, and we then wish to engage in the ethics which abandons the 10 non-virtuous activities. So by going for refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, and engaging in the ethics which abandons the 10 non-virtuous activities, and then if we engage in negativity, acknowledge that downfall, we are able to be reborn in the higher realms of cyclic existence, and these are the pathways shared in common with beings of small capacity. So when we look at the great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment in the karma section, we find that the karma section first has it's called developing faith and conviction in karma and its results, that is the root of all temporary happiness and certain goodness. This category has 3 points: reflecting on karma and its effects in general, reflecting on karma and its effects specifically, and then how to engage in virtue and abandon non-virtue once one has reflected on karma and its effects in general and specifically. So under this first category of reflecting on karma and its effects in general, we find that there are two major points. First, the principal teaching on the 10 paths of action. So this is the first point, and then the determination of our effects of our actions. So these are the first 2 points. And when we look at this first category, the principle, the principal teaching of the 10 paths of action. This goes through the 10 paths of action. And then we find the determination of the effects of our actions. And under that category, we find that there are three major headings. Black actions and their effects, white actions and their effects, and then a presentation of other classifications of karma. So when we look at the root text, the great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment, we see how it plugs into this outline. These are the things I've done, white or black. So these things are explained in the great treatise under these categories here.
Mm-hmm.
So this black actions, the white or black and what those deeds will bring to me. What this means here is that our white deeds, which are referring to virtuous actions, bring happiness. So by engaging in virtuous actions, we're able to achieve rebirth into the gods and the humans realm. Black deeds, which are referring to non-virtuous actions or misdeeds, give rise to suffering, give rise to lower realms of rebirth. So this is what is meant in this section, what those deeds will bring to me, follow always close behind, as certain as my shadow. So when we're speaking of non-virtuous actions, we're referring to, in this case, the 10 non-virtues. When we're speaking of virtuous actions, we're speaking of ethics that abandons any among those 10 non-virtues. So when we speak of the 10 non-virtues, there are the 3 non-virtues of the body, killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct, the 4 non-virtues of the speech, lying, divisive speech, harsh words and gossip, and then 3 non-virtues of the mind, covetousness, harmful intent, and wrong view. So engaging in any among these would be considered non-virtue. Abandoning any among these is considered the ethics which abandons the 10 non-virtuous activities. So in, under the category of black actions and their effects, we find the points of the actual paths of black actions, distinctions of weight, and an exposition of effects. So we've gone over the actual paths of black actions. So we're going to go over now the category of distinctions of weight. So here this is referring to the all non-virtuous activities and virtuous activities have great levels of occurrence and smaller levels of occurrence, or degrees, great degrees and small degrees. So what this section will show us is that when we engage in deeds, these deeds have a weight to them. Some are weightier than others. Some are smaller weight than others. So this is the point of this section. So we're going to go over this tonight a little. Is anyone anyone who's going to look at the text, it's on 227 in English. So here we'll be able to ascertain now where we find the points made of how these degrees of actions produce results. So when we look at this category, distinctions of weight, we find there are two categories, the weights of the 10 paths of non-virtuous actions, and then the criteria for powerful actions. So the first category, the weights of the 10 paths of non-virtuous actions, it says that there are five causes that make an action heavy or a great degree. So when we relate it to virtue and non-virtue, so we look at the 10 non-virtues and then the ethics which abandons the 10 non-virtues, any among those have great, medium, and small degrees, or weights, if you will, or weight. The weightiest among the non-virtuous activities, any among the 10 non-virtuous activities that are carried out in the weightiest fashion, give rise to rebirth in the hell realms. Those that are carried out in like a medium degree of weight or medium weight give rise to a hungry ghost rebirth, and those that of a small weight give rise to an animal rebirth. So we find that we've gone over those points before, and now we find the source material for it.
What the tamal what the yar da deba magwa chudle chindi chungso yaris.
So we find these points that are made about how the great degree of non-virtue gives rise to a hell realm rebirth, a medium degree of non-virtue gives rise to a hungry ghost realm rebirth, and a small degree of non-virtue gives rise to an animal rebirth. So we find this in many different texts, but without finding it here and knowing the reasons for it, we really don't know it well. So this is why it's important for us to look at this, and then we can find the source for the information that we know.
What the giant the latin nando no and then sambi chion sambi chua and then ju chua nebu mebi chua lubongova shibi chua ji chuas.
When we look at this category of the distinction in terms of weight, we find that there are these five causes that make an action weighty.
First, something,
page 227 again. So things that are, make it weighty. So weighty because of the attitude, weighty because of the basis, weighty because of the performance itself, weighty because of not applying an antidote or the absence of an antidote, and then weighty due to clinging to the perverse or to clinging to wrong views. So when we go to the first category, weighty because of attitude, this attitude that's being spoken of is the negative attitude of the three poisons. So whenever we engage in an activity, so first, for instance, if we engage in killing, if we engage in killing with the greatest degree of intensity of attachment, then this is a great, a weightiest killing, and then this would give rise to rebirth as, I'll do it the other way. So what this is talking about is doing things with intense forms of the three poisons of attachment, hatred, and delusion. So the example of killing is used. So if one engages in killing with the most intense amount of attachment or the greatest degree of attachment, then this gives rise to rebirth into the hell realm. A medium degree of attachment into the hungry ghost realm, and a small degree into the animal realm. So the same applies to the other two poisons. I'll do it like this. The same applies to the other two poisons. So if there's an intense form of hatred involved, the greatest degree gives rise to hell, medium degree, hungry ghost, small degree, animal. And then if it's mixed with an intense form of delusion, the same is true. A great degree of delusion gives rise, and one kills with a great degree of delusion, then this gives rise to hell realm rebirth, a medium degree hungry ghost, and a small degree animal. So what this is speaking of, weighty because of attitude, it's speaking of the attitude of the three poisons being mixed in and motivating these non-virtues. Deekson. So now we'll read the English. There are five causes that make an action weighty. As exemplified by killing, they are as follows. Actions of killing that are weighty due to attitude are those done with intense forms of the three mental poisons. So here, the three mental poisons are referring to attachment, hatred, and delusion. So the greatest intensity of any among those three gives rise to hell. A medium degree of intensity on any among those three gives rise to a hungry ghost. A small degree of intensity any among those three gives rise to an animal realm. So if one engages in, and here we're using the example of killing, and same would apply to the other non-virtues, engages in killing, then the degree of it relates to the intensity of the three poisons. So this is this first category. So when we look at the 7-point thought transformation by Geshe Chikawa, we find that it says there the three objects the three poisons and the three root virtues. So the three poisons are referring to the poisons of attachment, hatred, and delusion. And the root virtues are those virtues which are free from any among the three poisons. So an action which is free from attachment, an action which is free from aversion, an action which is free from delusion. So this is what is referred to as a root virtue. It's an action that's free from those. So if one engages in any among those root virtues with the greatest degree of intensity, this gives rise to the God's realm rebirth, a medium degree to the demigod, and a small degree to the human realm. So we find that also the degrees relate to virtue as well as non-virtue. So when we look at the how something becomes a greatest degree of virtue, it's when there is an action which is free from free from the mental poisons, and is an intense form of that. So an action which has an intense freedom from any among the three poisons. So an action which doesn't have an intense form of attachment or etc. So the action with the greatest intensity of freedom of root virtue gives rise to the god, medium degree, demigod, small degree, animal. Human realm, sorry.
Dibal gawad dibaro, gawal gawad gawari dibaro, marbe. Tendrawa tuna, sujakin tuna, ye gawadansa. Yerimu ne sanshins, ta sujaya den haman suguasan, jirimu santane. Sanshin, sabi senji sheba dans, yerimu sane, seba yina, sabi le sedmer sa. Shela saba, sala majiba. What the mother Saba said, Sanu Jinu Botan Sejabatele, Sabile, Sajibus, Sabisuchibile, and the Majiba Levot Kangaja in Jerota. Sanchi Sabi, Senji, Sheba Tansa Tatu, Kubashi, Suchu al Gabijin, tātū kāpā shēchīn, lēn rīlā yāng, mō tū sōpa tāngs, tsū chūyā lā kāpā chī, kāpā chī, tā mā chūyā chī tāng, tsū, tū sū lā kāpā nā shēchīn mā rā bē tā, kāpā shēchīn, lēn rī yāng, nā sēng chīn tāng, sū chā mō bā sēn, mō tū sōpa tāng, dūngā trāpa chē bē sōpa tāngs, nā kū sū dū lū kū lā dūngā mō bā trāpa chē nā sēpa, ngā tā mō bā tāng, kālē kālē tāng, sēpa tū sū yīmbā tā. Tetiba chibure sa ta. Jiba je ne, anu kul shi na la ne, anu diba, leka duja mumbu che ju ne, anu seba. Wa tu su diba che ju yinba ta. Je ne shawa, miba she du ju tu suba ta, diba chibure sa ta. Shenba ta, dunghewa ta, treba ta, nyataba mawa ta, hin jiwa, penga duje tu seba sa. Tā nyā chūng tānde, tā ngā māsē rūjī sū ngūy nē, wā tānde lā tānge tū sū sū bā tū wā tā dīpa chī bā yīsā mā rā, wā tā bā tū yū yū chī wā tā rē mū tū.
That's it.
Yeah.
So the next is weighty due to performance. So performance is the actual killing, the activity or the action of killing, such as using the gun or using the knife. So this is what the performance is referring to. So there are seven points that are made. So we'll read them. Killing with a mind delighting in and being glad about having taken a life or taken life in the future. So this is referring to a mind that delights in and is happy about killing that one has done in the past, killing that one is currently doing, and the killing that one will do in the future. And then it says engaging in action yourself, causing others to take it up and praising it. That word rejoicing in it is maybe more literal. But anyway, praising it, rejoicing in it. So rejoicing in killing that's been done in the past, present, or future by oneself or by others. So this is the next category. Third is doing it with a mind that is pleased when such a thing is done and doing it after prolonged premeditation and preparation. So premeditated action is an action that one thinks about for a long time, thinks about it and then plans it or thinks about it and then engages in it. So this is what a premeditated action is. So for instance, the killing or stealing, thinking of killing, thinking about stealing for a long time and planning it and so forth. This is what a premeditated action is referring to. Then it says doing it constantly and diligently. Again, we could put joyfully there, constantly and joyfully, and each time killing a great deal. So killing a large amount of sentient beings at once when one is doing this constantly killing, so it's always going on and it's enjoyed. So this is what the fourth point is. The fifth point, killing your victim by torture. So this is causing a being a great deal of suffering before you end his or her life. So that's what this means, torturing them in some way. Six is killing after frightening your victim into performing inappropriate actions. So scaring the person you're going to kill into doing a bunch of bad things. And then after you scare them into doing these bad things, you kill them. So this is number six. And then number seven, killing while your victim is weak, suffering, or impoverished, or while the victim is moaning or piteously reciting laments. So that's referring to if the victim is crying out for help, saying, please don't kill me, and then you go ahead and kill. This falls under that seventh category. Jutsu Jei Le Sun.
Okay,
So
okay.
Maybe we'll get a bag, Rinpoche said, that we can put some of the cookies and hand out to folks. And we're taking a short break. We'll have some...
Yeah, I was going to say, Tā sūjū bōmi tsūtīng sōngba lā, tētān rāwa shilū, tē pōjū lōn jāba yinā, tsūtīng chibu yinā wā. Sūjū bōmi tsūtīng, anē...
Jōwā.
Jūyū jīwā nē sā. Tā gāwā lā jāba yinā, sūjū bōmi tsūtīng, jūyū jīwā nē. Sūjū bā bōmba bībō, Neo Leda, Sujuba Pomba Sumbutele, Gawaji, Jesu Iranjina,
Lesso,
Gawaiabri Gujro,
Lesso,
Jesu Iran, Dambata,
Lesso,
Ne Raya, Sujuba Sujinsun, Jelia, Sujuba Sujinsun, Jubaina, and Tishadaya was Naba Jubaina, Gawai Chibinjero. Tendra Tua in Sujuba Sujin, Sujinsun Tuana, Y Gawada. He got on. You remember, Sanchez, that's what you're moving, that's what you're moving to today, and the song going up a song of June and Botana, and the soldier going to Tina, and the Sabile said him, but Sanchez Sheba dance, and that was what you're moving to Tina Kubasheba, Kubashi, Larry, and the soldier going to Tina Motusuma. Motu Sumata, Dunga Tabuchi, Subata, Jibachin, Shawa, Miba Shed Jude, Suba Otto Supua in Jerota, Shambata, Dunga Wata, Tibata, Nata Bamawata, Hijua, Pangan Dunjito, the Sumasuba, Sujabumba Dode, Sujin Shua in Samarbe, Ju, Sujabum Sujin Shua. Kasuba Lujana.
Chu, the Ninji Dan Shambalasa, the Tamagaric, the
Tasu Jibi, Sujibi, Jijo, Jijo, the Sujiljano, the Shizwa, Sujibu, Sujil, the Drabajin Bajaja,
okay.
So Bibu Sujaba, Neo Sujabomba, Leda Sujabomba, God Jesuera, the Dabunda Vajila.
So then. When we look at the non-virtuous activities, unvirtuous activities can become weighty due to performance if they include these points. So the same is true for virtuous activities. Virtuous activities become weighty in the following way. So when we look at, we're going to just use the topic, the ethics which abandons killing, as our example of the non-virtue of the virtuous deed. So here, if we abandon killing with the mind and delighting in and being glad about abandoning killing in the past, present, and future, then this is a weighty due to performance. So this is an ethics which is a great weight. If we engage in the ethics which abandons killing, ourselves, we abandon causing others to do it, and we abandon rejoicing in it, then this becomes a great weighty virtue. Then if we abandon killing with a mind that is pleased with abandoning it and thinks about abandoning it for a prolonged period of time, then this becomes weighty due to performance. If we engage in ethics which abandons killing constantly and do it with joy and do it a great amount each time, then this makes it weighty. If we do it with the absence of torture, if we engage in the ethics which abandons killing and there's no torture, then abandons torturing, then this is a great virtue. If we engage in the ethics which abandons killing and abandons frightening victim in performing inappropriate actions, then this is a weighty virtue. And then if we engage in the ethics which abandons killing a victim that is weak, suffering, or impoverished, or while the victim is moaning or piteously reciting laments. So if we engage in the opposites, so if we abandon these killings with these opposite intentions, then these become the ethical weight, the weighty ethical behaviors. I think it's clear.
Dixon.
So when we look at the virtuous deeds in this weighty due to performance, we have the weights which are small, medium, and great as well. So when we look at the weights of our virtuous activities, we can say that we have these same ideas in place of weight, of degrees, small, medium, and great.
That never the member in a never the member in a diva carzana diva jibutsabichano was your water. Never maybe Joas. Never maybe Joane Nyeji jin to haba ngaya meleba melela sa nyema ji jin to suta gdumba shansang gdumba kha gdumba kha meleba je lena gwarin ngurwa malena nyepo meba de ngurwa melela sa dashe da ane dashe da cheba je da cheba ju ju da junga la nyene la neba ta tari nga su nishunga le nga su oti teje su yung duwa le baro otin rabo dawa shakal le ya nyene cheba jil le ya chujil le ya chunga le ya otin le ba ina gwa yi jiro male na oti nyeba meba re nga gomare nyene la neba nyene la neba ta tu tu su jimba ta sa tu tu su ni jimba ta ya Suna dang, ngondun mhawa dang, sha cha wa dang, dang wa dang, tamuja wa dang, dupi sen la suba maje ba dang sa. Anu du ta du ni jimba ba dang wa dan jimba ina anu ku nyebu me ba rin rin gujir wa. Anu diba sa ba te, diba chiba cha rin ba re. Du su ngosa shi ba dang, du su ngosa shi ba dang, che yo ba dang. Jeba she chewa matu ba dan sa mosa yoba da te yoba yina gawar wa da mosa me ba dan te me ba jena diba re no go jro an jeba she chemu matu ba an diba lan jeba she chemu me ba je diba lan jeba she chemu yina gawar wa a jiten bi chadle chungo bar tu ba mri ba us jiten bi chadle chungo bar tu ba jitin pe langkunga tenri yungurwa ta wa tesu tesu meba ina nyebu meba resi tesu yuna nyebu yuwa re diba nuye ne diba ku chuchung jirwa nyebu tesu meba inza nyebu mebi gu ne su juba la su wa tesu diba chibu chao yungwa re ta nyebu di yobi gu ne su juba la su wa diba ju de gwa chibu chu yisa marwe
leso
wata kalu kutu jaja na
so the tearing nishu sanga
Nishunga. Nishunga.
Okay.
Okay. 25.
Tibet
10 month. 25.
25th. Okay. Yeah. Weighty to do. So the next, we've gone over weighty due to attitude. We've got over weighty due to performance. So now we're going over weighty due to the absence of an antidote. So here, this means that we haven't applied any kind of opponent. To the negativity we've engaged in. So we have to provide an antidote. So it begins with weighty due to the absence of an antidote is one that is done, one, while not taking any precepts on a daily basis. So this is referring to the precepts that one adheres to daily, such as the individual liberation vows, or the bodhisattva vows, or the tantric vows. So not taking these daily, not adhering to these daily. Next, while not doing such things as observing one-day vows on the new moon or the 8th, 14th, 15th days of the month, while not occasionally being generous, collecting merit, speaking about the teaching, making obeisance, rising when a respected person enters your presence, pressing your palms together in respect, or having an attitude of veneration. So here, for instance, today we're having this teaching, it's Lama Tsongkhapa Day, it's the 25th of the month. It's a special day. So this is serving as an antidote to our negativities because of the power of the day. So we find these specific days that are pointed out. So today we took it says observing one-day vows. So today we took the Mahayana one-day vow. So this is an antidote in this case. And then these other things, being generous, collecting merit, these are all talking about virtuous things, which are serves as opponent to non-virtue or antidotes to non-virtue. Number three, while not from time to time becoming ashamed, embarrassed, or having preponderance of contrition. So here, this word ashamed, having shame or embarrassment is considered a virtue. These words don't really have, just as a translator's note, there isn't a sense of guilt within them. There's a sense of recognition of done something wrong. So when we look at these words, ashamed and embarrassed, that word guilt isn't loaded into them. It's more of a regret but a little bit stronger and being embarrassed by what one has done. But it's not a clinging type. So just as a note, so when I'm saying what is shame and embarrassment is virtuous, not being having shame and not having embarrassment is non-virtue. So, and this is talking about when one is committed wrong, not having shame, not having being embarrassed. While not having reached either a state of freedom from worldly attachment or the clear knowledge of the teaching. So one hasn't applied the antidote, which is the pathway, which frees one from worldly attachment and what allows one to know clearly what the Dharma is. So when we look at these negativities, the opposites of these negativities become the virtues that are weighty. So that's how we look at this. If we have no absence of antidote, if we have the presence of antidote, then this is how we turn it and understand it in terms of virtue versus the terms of non-virtue that it's being presented in. So it's important for us to look at this. We have the distinctions of weight, weighty based on attitude, weighty based on performance, weighty based on not applying an antidote. So this is the real meditation. This is the most helpful thing that we can do. We read this in the book, then we think about it, and then we have this root that begins to grow and we begin to understand more. So this is what the real meditation we should be doing is this contemplation of things like this. So you read it, you understand it a little bit, you come to an understanding, and then you look at it again, and then you understand a little bit more, and come to an understanding, and this is the process of knowledge and familiarization. So where we are, we'd first have the class, the explanation of the text, and then we would engage in a large amount of debate about the text. And then we would understand its actual meaning, understand its meaning well. So if you think about this a lot, then you'll ascertain the meaning. Weighty due to clinging to the perverse or clinging to wrong view. Killing that is weighty due to the clinging to the perverse is that done in reliance on any sort of wrong view. For example, there are those who kill out of a desire to be religious, relying on the views of those who make animal sacrifices. They think that there is no fault in slaughtering livestock because the Lord of all beings created them to be used. So here, we find these practices in Nepal. In other places where they actually make offerings of blood, make offerings of the animal, they make a sacrifice of the animal. And they feel there's nothing wrong with killing these birds or and so forth as an offering because they look at it as a religious activity, and they think that because the Lord of all beings gave them to us, that slaughtering these things is not non-virtuous. So this is the wrong view. That is what this perverse is, just a translation of wrong view. So this is the wrong view that causes that killing to become weighty, because of believing that it's virtuous to engage in these negativities, not thinking there's anything wrong with it. When we look at the opposite, the abandonment of the perverse, then this becomes the virtuous activity. So if there's an abandonment of wrong view, abandonment of perverse, then this is its opposite, which is virtue. This is the non-virtue. So when we look at the abandonment of the perverse, ethics, which is the abandonment of clinging to the perverse, a great level gives rise to a God's realm rebirth, a medium level gives rise to a demigod realm rebirth, and a small level gives rise to a human rebirth. So killing that is weighty due to its basis. So we've gone over killing that's weighty due to its attitude, weighty due to its performance, weighty due to the absence of an antidote, and weighty due to clinging to the perverse or to wrong view. And now we're at the section on weighty due to the basis. So is taking the life of a large animal, a human, a fetus, your parents, your aunt or uncle, someone such as a guru, a close friend, a learner, a bodhisattva, an arhat, a prachika buddha. Also it is killing which is weighty due to its basis when you know that a tathagata cannot be killed and you bring forth blood from a buddha with an intention to harm. So here we'll go through the basis. So a large animal, so killing an elephant, for instance, is a greater karma. So the larger the animal, the weightier it is as a basis. So it says human and fetus. So here, a human being is a normal human being. Fetus is the, Rinpoche is just explaining, the baby which is in the womb. Where do we find this reference for that killing a fetus is of great weight? We find it in the Vinaya, in the fully ordained monk and nuns, in the fully ordained monk and nun section, in the nun specifically section, where we find that this killing the baby in a womb to be of great killing if there is a baby in a womb which is a fetus and it is of great weight. And then it says your parents, your aunt, your uncle, etc. But we find this source where it's for the fetus point in the Vinaya and the fully ordained section. So if we look at the ethics which abandons this basis, then a medium great degree gives rise to God's medium degree, demigod, and small degree to the human realm.
다 대바 먹어 대바 먹어 주 나네 수제바 사러와 수제바 치부 나시 손나 어디 나를 지레 지마르바 지레 어디 시에 다 하무 줄 하도록 주 하마 골하도 골하도록
그래서
구이 제어도 어디 해야 되다
그래서
고기 지 저한테 주갈시 주갈시 안에 하마 다 하마 제 손 말베 어디 수제만 하버스 무슨 마선 바지 수제 하버스 주제와 다 마지막에 봐 마지막에 봐 지제와 안에 주제와 삼비제와 마지막에 봐 삼비제와 데 안에 도송 수자비 군에 안에 마지막에 봐 이나 안에 디바 체주 이제와
그래서
딩게 마지막에 봐 이는 딩 총을 도스내 봐 이나 총을 이제 말베 대부분 주제송 때 유송 도송 그자송 잡으나로 다
So when we looked at killing as an example and applied all of these various points to it about the 5 points and so forth. So what then do we know about the other 9 non-virtuous activities? So in the Great Treatise on the Stage of the Path to Enlightenment, it says that the weight of the remaining 9 non-virtuous actions is similar to killing. Except for the basis. So then the basis make them weightier in the cases of the other 9 non-virtues. So we find that there are a great medium and small degrees of weight relate to all of these, and then the abandonment of them do as well have degrees. So if you think about this slowly, then in the future you will become a scholar. So if you understand the great treatise on the stages of the path to enlightenment, if you ascertain the meaning of that, then you ascertain the meaning of the Kangjur, the pronouncements of Lord Buddha, and the Tenjur, the authentic Indian commentaries.
So when
we look at the Kangjur and the Tanjur, we would say that the Atisha's lamp for the path to an enlightenment is like an ocean, and the Kangjur and Tanjurs are like rivers that flow into this ocean. So it's called an illustrious ocean of instruction because these rivers of the Kangjur and Tanjur flow into Atisha's lamp for the path to enlightenment.
That Kanju Tenju Ten Pai Tulu Arangasulu Shigamarasan Tengukumudote, Narit Inche Tulle Sarote, Tenda Inche Tulle Sarote.
So we have only the Kangjur and Tanjur in Tibetan, and whether we can read them or not is uncertain, but we have in English now the great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment. So this is very good that we have this text. So you have the English Lam Rim or stages of the path right in your own hands. It's very good.
What the Lama Gui Jiang, what the Mara Lama Guiyang, Jimatuba, and then Jimatuba, Sujiba Tara Jiang, Sheba Shalas, Hama Tas, Suji, she said, you tell Hama Gui or Ta Gui, then. Gugi Ji Chiwate, Gugal Shigis, Jimatu will Hamat Suji Dabuses, Suji Dabu Santasan Jigres.
So, here what this is going to say is that the weight of the other 9 non virtues is very similar to killing. The only differences that we're going to deal with are the difference in basis.
Oji Tatana Underedua. Lama gui jima tuba sujiba tar sheba jian sheba shala sa ta sujiba majimba leba ta majimba leba jili chewa tu kandere sana suju jili chewa o tamal chinsar wata majimba leba jili chewa ne mambu tan Zambutan, Yi Tembala Kushin, Chubatan, Mebatan, Tembatan, Radushumatan, Chundabala Chubatan, Kondo, 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 Chuba, Chubatan, Kondo, Chuba, Chubatan, Kondo, Chuba, Chuba, Angel Carsono.
Tambo, the near the Lamrim Chemo Yomari Puik, the Detsilo.
Inche.
The Chala Yabo.
Tamajil, Majiba, and Majil is Joe and Mombutan Zeroa. Takuma Mombukuba in a Divachibris.
Lesser, then eh?
And Chala Zachibukuba in a Divachibris, Zambutans.
Zambo, then eh?
Eat them bala cushions. Eat them ba. He then bought a cushion, Chuba Dansa, and Kumi Jalade, and then Medele, and then Kubu Yobatan, Kurun Tembejina, the Kuma Gubaina, the Bachibus Monte Samarbe, Chuba Dansa. That Mabatan,
Meshu,
Tibatan, Mabas and the Jubutus, Jubutus, Jala Gubatan, Jugutu and Jala to Gubaina, and the Bachibus, the Tibatan. And the Rajuns and Morgan on Sumarbe to do Chala Chuba in the division. Chit the Bala Chuba Tans, Chit the Bala Rajuns to Marbe, Namba,
Namba,
Namba, Chala, Namba, Chala, Chuba Tan,
then eh?
Go on to Chuba's Carsono.
The Gom Chembo Chala.
Ale,
Gom Chembo Chala.
Chala. What is
the
Sair Dan? What
is the Chubala
Conanti? Condo Chuba Dansa, Chuba Dans. Chuba Dan, Tajumba. Chuba Sandan, you two papa, you two Tolomba, Golomba, Ranja Tolomba, Golomba, Chanson Tolomba, Golomba, Takante, and you two Tolan, Jolan Tolan, Tolan, Golan.
Stealing is weighty due to the basis of it involves taking a great deal, so taking a large amount of things, or taking good things, so things that are good, or stealing after deceiving those who trust you, so somebody has some trust in you and then you take from them. Stealing from the lowly, so those who are less fortunate, the impoverished, those who are poor, renunciates, or those who are ordained. Other Buddhist practitioners or practitioners who are on the path, so other people who are Buddhists, or involve stealing what is highly valued, so something that is worth a lot of money, something's valuable, or stealing the property of learners, arhats, prachikabuddha, the community, or stupas. So here, learners can refer to any among those practitioners from the path of in the hearer's solitary realizer or bodhisattva vehicle. So those hearer's solitary realizers or bodhisattvas on the path of accumulation, the path of preparation, the path of seeing, and the path of meditation. So those four pathways are what we're referring to. Those four pathways are what those learners are on. So beings who are learners are beings who are on those four pathways.
Oh, tu su kuba yina majiba jil jil chwa tarin res roa. Ta majiba le chuti o te pombi majiba le chuti te jil chwa yima chwa injire.
So if we look at the abandonment of stealing from such bases, then this makes it so that the abandonment, because the basis is what it is, the abandonment then becomes a great weight. So this becomes a great amount of virtue then as well. So when we look at its opposite, and if I didn't read the last four arhats, prachikabuddhas, the community, or stupas, I just don't know if I read those four things. So I just wanted to, in case I didn't.
What did you thought then? 다 루인 제일 좋아서 루인 제일 좋아 말베 루인 루인 제일 좋아네 누가셔 메방 다다 대방아 제바 이 주비 조마 들어 마다 네 들어 마다 그투마 녀버셔바 그투마 녀버셔바 녀버셔바다 네 녀버셔바다 What the Jayola Miba, Carjubata, Jimiba, Hinela Neba, Ne Juma, Dawa Tama, Neba Dansa, Ne Miba, Chedeji, Nyakota, Genuji Kungarawa, Nebushiba Hus, Taluin Jelejo to Jadmur, Luinroa.
So now we're speaking of sexual misconduct. So, sexual misconduct, we find that there are four categories that relate to basis. Basis of a person that is inappropriate to have intercourse with, parts that are inappropriate to have intercourse with, or parts of the body, times that are inappropriate to have intercourse, and then places that are inappropriate to have intercourse. So then these will all be covered in terms of what the weightiest among them are. So it says, sexual misconduct that is weighty due to its basis is sleeping with those whom you should not have intercourse with. So that's that first category, basises of beings you shouldn't have intercourse with. So it says, your mother, those who are her relatives, the wives of men who are close friends. So you shouldn't have intercourse with your mother or any of her relatives or any of your good friends' wives. Really, here, when we look at the appropriate basis, or the kind of the person, appropriate person, it means one's own wife or one's own husband, no one else's. So that is how we determine this category, but then the next behaviors, it doesn't matter if the person is your wife or not, there's still sexual misconduct. So here, the wives of men who are close friends, nuns, probationary nuns, and female novices, so these are the three ordained vows of the female. In terms of inappropriate body part, sexual misconduct that is weighty due to its basis is oral intercourse. So when we find the inappropriate body part section, we find that the mouth, the hand, the anus, all of these places are inappropriate body parts. Inappropriate in terms of time, it's intercourse when observing a one-day vow, so an individual liberation one vow, or a woman at the end of her term, so when the baby is very close to being born, or if the woman is ill. So if any of these circumstances are present, even if one is your own spouse, then it's not appropriate and it becomes sexual misconduct. In terms of an inappropriate place, is intercourse in the vicinity of a stupa or within the compound of the sangha, the community. So then when we look at the ethics which abandons these, then we have ethics related to the basis, or virtue related to the basis.
Mm-hmm.
Majimba Lamba, Don Louis, let's see, this gives rise to one.
So Juba Jelly Chiwanis, Jen Diji, Loa Dubisa.
Natsu Zun, Ne Zun, Dain Sun San Suchupa, Gomagoa. The Jepo, Ne Zun, the Jepo Gare, Me Seson, Ne Zungi Jepo. Ne Zungi Jepo.
That Jun Jelly Chiwan de Rido, Jen Diji, Jen. Tonobata, Julambata, Tonobata, Colomba, Sanji to Zule, Jumana, Junchimbris, Diva Chimbris, Anzambutan, Zawu, Tamazambutan, and the Susu Trouble Jazzy Shabina, Junchimbris, Zare, Zambutan, Zawula, Pawa, Jumawatan, Sujabasu.
Soon Jeba, Jeba Mao, Sujaba, Takatu Sujabasun Kadu. Lying that is greatly due to its basis is through desiring to delude and deceive. So you wish to deceive someone tell lies with many purposes or reasons, telling lies to those who have helped you, from your parents through the Buddhas to good persons and to friends, telling a lie that gives rise to one or more of the three weighty actions, killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct. Telling a lie in order to split apart the community is the weightiest among all of these. So we begin up here, telling lies with many purposes, lies to those who have helped you, from parents through the Buddhas. So telling lies to one's parents is extremely negative. And through the Buddhas is referring to all those practitioners on the pathways up to Buddhahood. So those hearers, solitary realizers, bodhisattvas who are on the path of accumulation, those beings who are on the path of preparation, those beings who are on the path of seeing, those beings that are on the path of meditation, and then it says up to Buddhas, those beings who have no more to learn. So that's what it means there. To good persons, to friends, and telling a lie that gives rise to one or more of the three weighty actions. And then telling a lie in order to split the community apart is referring to the dividing the Sangha. It's one of the five irreversible actions, one of the, among the five heinous crimes. So it's saying that this is the weightiest among all of them because it falls under those of the five most heinous actions one can do, dividing the spiritual community.
That Tama Jilly Joan, do you tomorrow? Tama Jilly Joan,
Divisive speech that is weighty due to its basis is speech that splits apart those who have been friends for a long time. So here, very similar, when we look at Nagarjuna's letter to a friend, making those who are compatible incompatible. So this is what we're talking about. We're talking about dividing friends. Some people who are compatible together, or harmonious is another way to describe it, and making them inharmonious, making them incompatible. So it says teachers, parents, and their children, or the community, and divisive speech that gives rise to weighty actions, the three physical actions. So here, this is the same as previously stated, that it's divisive speech that gives rise to killing, divisive speech that gives rise to stealing, divisive speech that gives rise to sexual misconduct. So it looks like we're out of time. So we will end the teaching there. And we'll do the concluding mandala offering and dedication prayers. And thank you everyone for coming and listening on this holy occasion. The merit that we create, one virtue today equals 100,000 because of the time of increase since it's Lama Tsongkhapa Day. So we've engaged in a large amount of virtue. So now we need to dedicate it. So concluding mandala offering and dedication prayer. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure land. I dedicate whatever virtues I have collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Lozandrapa to shine forever. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samantabhadra as well. With whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. In that pure land surrounded by snowy mountains, you are the source of all benefit and happiness, all-powerful Avalokiteshvara Tenzin Gyatso. May you stay until samsara's end. I pray for the long life of the precious Khenso Wandok, upholder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, spiritual friend who trained extensively in the five great philosophical texts with exceptional wisdom and perseverance. Tuji Rinpoche, Gutsi Shabi Denolam.